Matthew chapter 14. Matthew chapter 14. And tonight we're going to look at this message titled, The Sorry King. The Sorry King. The Herods. We read a lot about the Herods, and there were multiple Herods. Everybody that was in leadership at some point in time in this era and this realm had the title Herod of something. There was Herod the Great. He founded the dynasty and ruled from 37 B.C. to 4 B.C. He was an Edomite with 9 wives. He was known for slaying his own wives and sons and ordered infants slain in Bethlehem. He was rotten. Herod the Not-So-Great. Herod Antipas, that's who we're going to talk about tonight. Herod Antipas was also called Herod the Tetrarch. And he ruled from 4 B.C., to A.D. 39. He was known for being deceptive, selfish, and loved luxury. Herod Agrippa, he was the man that imprisoned Peter and killed James. And Herod Agrippa II is the one that tried Paul. And Herods, the Herods, they were rotten to the core. And one of the sorriest of the Herods is the Herod we see tonight, beginning in verse number 1 of Matthew chapter number 14. We're going to call him tonight the Sorry King. The Sorry King. The Bible says in verse 1, at that time, Herod the Tetrarch heard of the fame of Jesus and said unto his servants, this is John the Baptist. He is risen from the dead, and therefore mighty works do show forth themselves in him. For Herod had laid hold on John and bound him and put him in prison for Herodias' sake, his brother Philip's wife. For John said unto him, it is not lawful for thee to have her. And when he would have put him to death, he feared the multitude, because they counted him as a prophet. But when Herod's birthday was kept, the daughter of Herodias danced before them and pleased Herod, whereupon he promised with an oath to give her whatsoever she would ask. And she, being before instructed of her mother, said, give me here John Baptist's head in a charger. And the king was sorry. Nevertheless, for the oath's sake, and them which sat with him at meat, he commanded it to be given her. And he sent and beheaded John in the prison. And his head was brought in a charger and given to the damsel, and she brought it to her mother. And his disciples came and took it up, and took up the body and buried it, and went and told Jesus. Look what the Bible says in verse 9. And the king was sorry. I would just use a little play on words there to get our title, The Sorry King. But quite frankly, he was very sorry. He was lame. He was no count and no good. But we see that he is no count and no good and lame because he is an unprincipled man. I don't know of many people in history who had opportunity like Mr. Herod to stand up for what is right. But Mr. Herod was guilty of allowing John the Baptist and his own greed and pride and arrogance to allow John the Baptist's noble head to be severed from his body. And it was that same Herod who would not, though he saw no fault in Christ, who would not stand up for the Christ. But it's also that same Herod that lived his life sorry. Sorry. Now, Herod had an opportunity, and Herod missed his opportunity. And I want to learn from Herod's life, the sorry king, and I don't want to be, with God's help, a sorry Cody. By the way, all the sorry Cody stuff that's happened since February 16th, 1982, I'm 37, so you don't have to sit there and do the math. All the sorry things that Cody's done since February 16th, 1982, they are under the blood. And I've got an opportunity, beginning right now, this moment, to turn my life to Christ and let God do a work in my life. I don't have to be the sorry king. In spite of anything that Herod had ever done in the past, even marrying this wicked woman, Herodias, if he had turned to the Lord, he had had some consequences to bear, no doubt. But he had an opportunity to stand up for the Lord. He was the sorry king. He was the sorry king. In another place in the scripture, Mark chapter 8, verse 15, you don't need to turn there, but Jesus looks at his disciples and he says this. He says, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees. And then he says, beware of the leaven of Herod. Beware of the leaven of Herod. We don't want to be like Herod. The leaven of Herod. The spirit of Herod was a spirit that when it entered his life, his lack of principles, when it entered his life and his actions resulted in the spoiling of it all. What's the Bible say? A little leaven leavens the whole lump. And the leaven of Herod is the leaven of a self-serving, fleshly, unprincipled person. And may God help us not to be that person. May God help us not to be the sorry king. Look at the text with me, verse number 1. It's interesting how God leads Matthew to pen this story. It's happened in the past, but here's how it comes up. The Bible says in verse 1, at that time, Herod the tetrarch heard of the fame of Jesus, and said unto his servants, this is John the Baptist. He is risen from the dead, and therefore mighty works to show forth themselves in him. Immediately, when we meet Herod the tetrarch in this passage of Scripture, we see him, he is very scared. He's very nervous. He is he's worried. Here's what he thinks. He hears that Jesus Christ is doing these great works, and you know what the first thing he thinks is? He thinks it's John the Baptist come back from the dead. He's suffering with paranoia. He's scared to death. He's like, oh no, that thing that I did is coming back to haunt me. You know something wonderful from the Scripture? The Bible says the wicked flee when no man pursueth. Well, had Herod come back from the dead? No. Was Jesus great and mighty works? Did it have anything to do with, did John the Baptist come back from the dead? No. Did Jesus great and mighty works have anything to do with John the Baptist being beheaded or Herod at all? No. But Herod, because he was wicked and unprincipled, the sorry king, the wicked flee when no man pursueth. But the righteous are bold as a lion. He had made himself null and void, the sorry king, because he had no principles. So John the Baptist is worried. He's like, oh no, is this it? And Matthew, writing this book of the Scripture, led by the Spirit of God, says, let me tell you the story. Here's why he thought that. And we find it in verse number 3. For Herod had laid hold on John and bound him and put him in prison for Herodias' sake, his brother Philip's wife. For John said unto him, it is not lawful for thee to have her. Now, how did all this come to pass? It's a crazy story. It looks like something you'd watch in the soap operas in the afternoon. Because here's what happened. Herod had decided to marry his brother Philip's wife. His brother Philip's wife had gotten tired of being a wealthy aristocrat in Rome, and she thought that there might be some excitement with Herod. And so she marries Herod Antipas. And who in the world, in their right mind, marries their brother's wife? It's ridiculous, isn't it? It's wicked, it's sinful, but that's what happened. And so John, being the kind of guy he was, by the way, principled. He didn't care what nobody thought. What's right is right. And quite frankly, we should have the Spirit of Christ, but we should never be ashamed or afraid to stand up for the truth. It's a sad state of affairs that we find ourselves in the United States of America, because Christian people have become so afraid to say what they believe. What I'm watching, everybody on the far left, your left, my left. They're not afraid to say what they believe. And they dare anybody to stand against them. But honestly, in the love of Christ, in the Spirit of Christ, we should be bold as lions, standing up for what's right. And you know why we're not bold most of the time? The wicked flee when no man pursueth. But the righteous are bold as a lion. If we've lost our boldness, there's a certain element of our own sinfulness that prevents us from standing boldly for the cause of Christ. There's sin in the church. There's sin in the pulpit. There's sin in the hearts of God's people. And we need to seek God and turn to righteousness and repent of our sin and stand boldly for the cause of Christ. Is it mean-spirited? No. But it's bold for what's right. It's bold. Yes. I'm against sin. Yes, I'm for Jesus. Yes, I believe that the Bible, the 66 books of the Bible, is the Word of God. Yes, I believe it. I worship it. I serve the Lord. Yes. And I can't be ashamed of it. Oh, Herod. He was a coward. He was a sorry king. But you know what John the Baptist said? John the Baptist said, I know how powerful Herod is. And I know how rotten Herodias is, but I'll just tell you something. I'm not going to just sit back and let Herod marry his brother's wife and stand in some type of leadership over me without at least saying something about it. He said it. Was it without cost? No, it cost him everything. If you ask John the Baptist, who for more than 2,000 years has been in the presence of Christ, clipping coupons of eternal reward for doing what's right, if you were to ask him today, was it worth it? He'd say, yes. If you were to ask Herod today, and I don't like the fact that all the evidence points to the fact that Herod's been suffering judgment and the wrath of God for all this. If you were to ask Herod, Herod, do you wish you'd listen to John the Baptist? He'd say, yes. He'd say, yes. You see, we're looking at the sorry king. John the Baptist stood up against them. But the sorry king, he was, number one, a people pleaser. He was a people pleaser. We see it, first of all, in verse number 3. The Bible says, Herod had laid hold on John and bound him and put him in prison for Herodias' sake. Was Herod all uptight and against John the Baptist? No. As a matter of fact, you can find in a parallel passage in the book of Mark that Herod, the tetrarch, was really interested in what John had to say. He was listening and he was curious and he was fascinated. But instead of seeking after truth, what did Herod do? He bound John the Baptist, laid hold on him, put him in prison for Herodias' sake. He let Herodias, his new wife, his lust of the flesh, rule in his life. Now, folks, we can't get to the place where we allow people and sin and lust and the wrong thing to rule our decisions. If you let someone who is out of the will of God pressure you into disobeying God, then you have made a terrible mistake. Terrible. We see it often in relationships between young men and young women. We see it often in relationships between older men and older women. People who, because they want so badly the applause or the affection of another person, they will forsake everything God's ever taught them to obey and listen and do what they want to. And Herod, instead of following his instinct and listening and hearing what John had to say, repent for the kingdom of heaven, instead of listening and obeying and listening and following the Lord, Herod says, yes, ma'am, yes, ma'am. And he's like an ox dumb before the slaughter. He's a people pleaser. We got to get to the place where we're not willing to be ensnared by what somebody says that is in contradiction to God and His Word. Look what the Bible says in verse 4. For John said unto him, it is not lawful for thee to have her. What was it that got him all upset? He got Herodias upset. He got Herod upset. John says, it's not lawful for you to have her. That's your brother's wife. You've lost your mind. But did Herod heed counsel? Did Herod listen to what the preacher had to say? No. You see, he was a people pleaser. He feared his wife. He also feared and resisted instruction and correction. Now, folks, it happens to all of us. We get to a place where we don't want anybody to tell us that we're wrong. But if you get to the place where you don't want anybody to tell you you're wrong, you don't want anybody correcting you, and you don't want anyone instructing you, you have found yourself in a position that the Bible calls a fool. A fool, Proverbs 15:5, despiseth his father's instruction. We should be teachable and learners, hearers. God gives us friends that will wound us. God gives us the Word that will instruct and correct us. God gives us folks along the way. Why was he a sorry king? Because he was a people pleaser. He feared his wife. He feared and resisted instruction. He feared the multitude. Look, the Bible says in verse 5, and when he would have put him to death. Now, Herod's trying to think what to do. See, he kind of liked John the Baptist, but Herodias hates John the Baptist, and Herodias is in his ear, kill him, kill him, kill him. Are you really a Herod? Do you really have a power and authority? Kill him, kill him. And then John's like, oh dear, I've been watching the people. They have a lot of respect for John the Baptist. And the Bible says, when he would have put him to death, he feared the multitude because they counted him as a prophet. Now, his fear of the multitude caused him to do the right thing this time. But his fear of the multitude, when he stands and makes judgment over Christ and his coming crucifixion, the fear of the multitude then caused him to do the wrong thing. I'll just have you know something. The fear of what the multitude says, the fear of what the masses says, the fear of what emotional people in mobs have to say, that fear is always inconsistent. You see that mob of people that were standing for John the Baptist, that mob caused him to do the right thing. But the mob that cried out, crucify him about Christ, caused him to do the wrong thing. And you cannot find consistency in the multitude or the masses. You see, you can't find it. Why was he a sorry king? Because he was a people pleaser. And he was scared. He was scared to stand on principle. He's scared to obey the Lord. He was scared to stand for himself and do what was right. And he therefore was a sorry king. The Bible says in Proverbs 29 and verse number 25, hear it. The fear of man bringeth a snare. Have you ever seen something snared? It's awful. There's no way out except for death. The fear of man bringeth a snare. But whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be safe. You see, you've got two options. You either have the fear of man or the trusting in the Lord. Fear of man, snare. Trust the Lord, safe. Isn't it so sad we think, oh, I better listen to what everybody's got to say and see what the most popular opinion is. And then if I can go along with the masses, then I'll be safe. Wrong. Trust the Lord, you'll be safe. Listen to the crowd. You might be safe this time, but next time you won't. You see, he was a sorry king because he was a people pleaser. Number two, he was a sorry king because he was a man of the flesh, a flesh pleaser. What did he want? He wanted what was best for Herod. And he wanted what was best for Herod. He thought, I'm going to live it. I want what's best for me. It started in verse number 3 again. What did he do? Herod laid hold on John and bound him and put him in prison for Herodias' sake, his brother Philip's wife. Now, Herodias was his new wife, and Herodias was mad because John had said, that's a sin, it's wicked, it's wrong, you can't marry your brother's wife. But what started this whole mess for Herod the tetrarch? He married Herodias. He was one more big dumb cluck, wasn't he? He married Herodias. That's where it started. He wanted to fulfill the lust of his flesh. And therefore, as a flesh pleaser, a man of the flesh, this whole thing began to spiral out of control. Look, the Bible says in verse number 6, but when Herod's birthday was kept, the daughter of Herodias danced before them and pleased Herod. Here's what happens. So Herod actually makes the right decision. He says, I'm not killing John the Baptist. Let's keep him in prison a while, and maybe Herodias will settle down. And when she actually settles down, I don't want to upset her. He's such a coward. He's a sorry king. He says he's in prison, and we'll just leave him there for a while. But do you think Herodias forgot? No. By the way, do you think the devil forgets his plan? Oh, no. The Bible says, be sober, be vigilant, for your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Those lions, they walk about all the time looking for the opportunity. Satan will walk past the cracked door of your soul, and he'll look for opportunity time and time again, and he'll wait until the right opportunity happens. And in the sorry king's life, a man of the flesh, Satan had him. He said, we'll get him drunk at his birthday party, and we'll put Herodias' daughter before him dancing, and it'll please his dirty, rotten, sinful flesh, and then we'll have him. The birthday dance, verse number 7, leads into whereupon he promised with an oath to give her whatsoever she would ask. You think this was a wise thing for a king to do? I tell you what, you're a lewd dancer, and I'm impressed. You can have half of my kingdom. It's genius, isn't it? Now, we laugh because how foolish that is, but quite frankly, we will let our emotions and our rotten flesh cause us to make decisions that are that bad and maybe worse. We should protect ourselves. First of all, Herod, he shouldn't have been having this drunken party. Second of all, Herod shouldn't be calling on his wife's daughter to come and dance and please them before him and his friends. How foolish can you get? He should have protected. He should have said, I'm not doing that. I know that I have weakness. How many of you know you have weaknesses? Would you say amen? Amen. Me too. You know what you should do? You should understand your weaknesses, and you should put up a guard and protect yourself from those weaknesses, because the devil wants to ruin your life. That's what the Bible means when it says be sober, be vigilant. Herod was neither sober nor vigilant, and he let his guard down. It was at the birthday when his stepdaughter begins to dance in front of him that he says something ridiculous like, I tell you what, I'm so impressed you can have half the kingdom. Just come back and tell me what you want. He was a flesh pleaser. And he promised out of his foolish pride to do whatever she wanted. He made an oath. The Bible says in verse 8, and she, being before instructed of her mother, said, give me here John Baptist's head in a charger. And the king was sorry. Nevertheless, now I want you to know something. He was a people pleaser. He was a flesh pleaser. But when we come to verse number 9, he still had another chance to do what was right. Hey, look, you're never too far gone. You got another chance to do what's right. If you're here tonight and you've got another chance to do what's right, praise Jesus and stop doing what's wrong. Amen. He had another chance to do what was right. Hallelujah. I see the mercy of God in his life. He could have sat back and said, look, boys, I've been so foolish. And I know a king's oath's a king's oath, but I'm retracting this one. And if you got a problem with it, you can just take a hike. And I'm not going to be led around by this floozy girl. I've made a terrible mistake, but I'm not taking it from here on out. I'm not going to continue in that mistake. But that's not what he did. What was it? What was it that bound Herod to his word? The oath. The Bible says, and the king was sorry. Nevertheless, for the oath's sake, his oath. Do you think that oath carried any water? Do you think that oath had any merit? He was drunk at a birthday party. It didn't have any merit at all. How silly. Yet for the oath's sake. Isn't that how we do sometimes? We, in our time of our weakest, most ridiculous actions and fleshly deeds, we get this sense of honor. And, you know, I made an oath. I've heard drunks make oaths, and it's pitiful. But he said, for the oath's sake. You know what he should have? He should have backed up and said, no. Then he says this, for the oath's sake and them which sat with him at meat. Why did he go ahead and let John the Baptist's head be severed from his noble body? Because he didn't want to lose face with those buddies. The same buddies who were willing to sit around at a drunken party when this guy's daughter, stepdaughter, puts on her performance. The same guys. That's who he cared about pleasing. That's ridiculous. And I'll just have you know something. If you care more about pleasing people around you than you do pleasing Almighty God, we've got a problem. Yet, I fall into the same trap. You see, I must choose to please the Lord. Now, he was a pleaser of the flesh. He said, the oath's sake, I'm going to keep my word. Because of the guys around me, I'm going to keep God, keep my word. And then finally, the Bible says in verse 9, he said, them that sat at meat with him, he commanded to be given her. In the Synoptic Gospel, in a similar passage, it emphasizes that he was bowing down to what Herodias wanted. What was it? He was a flesh pleaser. He wanted to keep the peace with Herodias. Folks, I want you to know something. There are times in life when we have to stop trying to keep the peace with people who hate God and keep peace with God, because when we've kept peace with God, we have an opportunity to help those people around us, and we have the opportunity and the privilege of the blessing and power of God that goes with us along our way. You see, he was a sorry king. What a sorry king. Now, Herod's end. What happened to Herod? Here's Herod's legacy. His life was a story of lost prestige and power. At one point in his reign, he was banished to France, later banished to Spain. He is known and goes down in history as a weak ruler whose only concern was his own pleasure and power. He served himself, and he has the honor of being the man who killed the greatest prophet ever sent to proclaim God's word. Way to go, Herod. Congratulations. You see, Herod's end is a sad end. But it doesn't just end with the prestige or lack thereof for life and a legacy. Folks, if Herod didn't humble himself and come to faith in Christ, his soul and his body has been rotting in hell every moment. And at this very moment is there. Why? Because he's a sorry king. He wanted to please his flesh and please people. And he made very poor decisions. Herod's in. Now, if you back up and you try to take, and you take this spiritual an eternal principle away from this story, it's easy to look at it and think, hey, John the Baptist is the real loser here. Man, that's terrible. But I want you to think about it with me for just a second. We can never take the eternity principle out of these stories or out of our lives. We get guilty of that. Some of you and some of us and me, sometimes I catch myself living for this world, and I forget about eternity. But we should live every day with eternity's values in view. Now, if you look at the story, you think Herod is a sorry king. But Herodias, she got exactly what she wanted. So who won? Herodias. Nah. How many of you have ever had the spirit of revenge? And you actually got that revenge. Have you ever been there? You got that revenge? When you got that revenge, in about 1 minute after you got it, how did it feel? If you've not ever been there, I'm going to tell you how it felt. More empty than when a few minutes ago when you didn't have revenge at all. How many of you ever longed for some material thing and you got it? And you thought, man, if I can get that, everything's going to be great. And it was great for a short time. Well, I'll just let you know something. Herodias didn't win. She carried, we don't have scripture that says this exact story, but we have all kinds of scripture to prove the emptiness of the flesh. And she carried John the Baptist's head on a charger, probably into her room that night. And she may have carried it around the palace that day. Ha, 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 ha. But when she sat down in a quiet place, the revenge that she thought she'd have and the joy that she thought it would bring, knowing that that big mouth was silenced, it was nowhere to be found. Herodias didn't win. Who won? I'll tell you who won. We don't like the outcome, and I'm ready to go to heaven, but if you're loading up today, I'm going to stay here as long as I can. I'm happy. I'm thankful. We think, oh man, we don't like the way the story of John the Baptist ended. But let me tell you how the story of John the Baptist ended. Herod gave his word. He sent his executioner down into that dungeon. They laid John the Baptist on a block of wood, and the executioner with an axe and one swift blow, off with his head. Let me tell you what John the Baptist felt. Nothing. John the Baptist experienced a flood of grace that would be unexplainable, because God promises to give us grace sufficient in our time of need. He experienced grace that was beyond explanation. In 1 second, a flood of grace, and the next second, he stood face to face with Christ, with the Lord in eternity, knowing that his labor was not in vain in the Lord. Folks, I want you to know something. The real loser is Herod and Herodias, the sorry king. The winner, every time, without fail, without exception, the winner, John the Baptist. How does that apply to me? Every time, without exception, if you choose the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, the flesh, the world, the devil, every time you choose it, you lose. It may not look that way. Now, it didn't look that way for Herodias and Herod there for a minute or two, but it's looked that way crystal clear for 2,000 years, and it will not cease for all of eternity. Who's the winner? How can I win? Choose God, His Word, the principles of God's Word. Rest in Calvary. Rest in the Lord. Serve God with your life. What do you get? The blessing of God, the grace of God, the promise of a life that is not spent in vain, but a life that is invested in eternity. Ask John the Baptist right now. I mean, right now. It's happening right now. If we could talk to them, they're present. They're alert. Hey, John, was the principled life worth it? And from heaven, he could proclaim at this very second, it's as real as we're standing here right now. Yes. Hey, Herod, was it worth it? No. No. Folks, I want to encourage you, choose Christ and don't be a sorry king. Be a man or a woman of godly principle. What an honor it is and privilege we have to obey and serve the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes.